You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Man, we have reached that special time in August. Schools are beginning once again, which means summer as we knew it as a kid is coming to an end. But the harsh reality is we still got a couple hot months in between us and the start of the 2018-2019 NBA Sacramento Kings regular season. And what can you look forward to today on the Locked On Kings podcast? A complete schedule breakdown. We're going to go through game 1 to game 82, look at all of these matchups, break them down, analysis on potential win totals, all of that right here for you on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. My name is Matt George. Hope you had yourself a great weekend, a better weekend than I did. I was bedridden with sickness and illness galore over the weekend. Like I said on Friday, I like to get it out of the way well before the start of football season and basketball season so I don't have to worry about it. I try and get my sickness out. I plan it. I carefully schedule it in. So beginning of August, end of June time, and end of July time is always a great, perfect little area to sneak in a little sickness here and there. But I'm good. I'm okay. I'm ready to start. Put me back in, Coach. I'm excited to be back with you here for another week of the Locked On Kings podcast. Great interviews coming for you this week. So many of you continue to send in your requests to be a part of the show. I am still taking names and requests to fans and listeners that want to be a part of a fans-only episode that I'm going to be doing here in a couple of weeks, maybe around the end of August, a chance and opportunity for you to come on the podcast, share your stories, your takes, and all of that. It's opened up to you. You are a part of it. The show is for you, after all. So I want you to actually be a voice heard on the Locked On Kings podcast and on the Locked On Podcast Network. So if you want to be a part of it, let me know. You can email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com, and you can also tweet me at MattGeorgeKHDK. My name is Matt George, by the way. For those of you that are new, welcome in. I have the pleasure of being your host. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings here in the California capital, Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and writer for the website. And yes, the NBA schedule dropped last week. Again, we're going to dive headfirst into that. We talked a little bit on Friday about some marquee games. We're not going to just brush over it. We're going deep into this analysis, okay? We're going to dive in. You're going to know this schedule front to back by the end of this podcast, or at least know what my idea is of things to look out for and the ultimate Sacramento Kings chances. I also have a cool announcement, something that I'm going to start doing with KHDK that I know you're going to want to be a part of, and you can even join this movement with me. It's going to be a lot of fun, something that I'm going to be doing at the start of October. I will tell you about that in just a little bit, but I wanted to open up the show with something that's kind of difficult to do in a podcast format. It's not a video podcast, so you can't see it, but I wanted to share with you a video that was sent to me over the weekend. I'm not going to obviously play it for you because you can't see anything, but I just want to let you know where it's at. It's this video that was sent to me, and I tweeted it out. It's on my Twitter account right now, at MattGeorgeKHTK. I tweeted it out over the weekend, and it's a video of Buddy Hield playing at a pickup game at Texas A&M, and he's playing alongside a group of relatively talented players, and it's fantastic to watch. Buddy is just dominating, and it's about a 6-7 minute video, and it's a mixture of highlights, but most of it's Buddy Hield, and he just looks so smooth and so clean on the offensive end. Yes, it's not against complete NBA competition at full speeds. It's a bit more relaxed pickup game style, so Buddy doesn't necessarily have to work super hard to create his own shot or to score, but it gives you a glimpse of how fluid he is offensively and how much easier the game comes to him even this summer than from the beginning of last season and the season before when he was traded to Sacramento. And probably the most exciting part about this video is Buddy is creating his own shot almost every time he scores. And it's fantastic to see. Remember what I said, and you've heard Tim Maxwell from Sacktown Royalty and I talk about this a lot. We are super high on Buddy Hield, and I firmly believe that if Buddy Hield adds the ability consistently to create his own shot to his game, we're talking about maybe the best player on this roster and someone who is in consideration for the most improved player award. That's how good I think Buddy can be with the ability to create his own shot. He shows glimpses and flashes of it in this video. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Again, go to my Twitter. You can find it tweeted out there. If you're not on Twitter, though, all you have to look up on YouTube is Buddy Hield crazy shooting performance at Open Run. It's from Ball is Life. That's all you need to do. Check out that video, watch it, enjoy it, and send me your feedback, your reactions, and your comments to it either on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK, or you can email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, and it'll just fire you up maybe a little bit more to see Buddy Hield play. I'm super excited to know and see what kind of jumps he's made this offseason. I really firmly believe right at the beginning of next season, he is going to be a crucial piece of this Kings team going forward, and we're going to be able to see results immediately. This is going to be a big year for him, for De'Aaron Fox, for Bogdan Bogdanovic in a lot of ways, of can this team take that next big step, that next major jump. You heard James Hand talk about it last week. You heard Tim Maxwell talk about it last week. You heard Gary Gerald talk about it last week. All three of those guys giving very different definitions of what a successful season looks like, but all three of them hit on the same thing. They want to see clear day-to-day success, and especially when it comes to the offensive production of De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield. So check out that video. Let me know what you think. It's a great watch, a lot of fun. And then we'll dive more deeper into any kind of news. I had someone email me and tweet me over the weekend asking me if I could dive into a more specific breakdown of what the Kings individually have been working on this summer. All I can do is really speculate. There aren't too many videos and things that have come out that address specifically what all these guys are working on. I can assume De'Aaron's working on his shot. I can assume Marvin Bagley's working on his right hand. I can assume Harry Giles is working on his outside jumper because that's what they need to work on. But we don't know specifics, and we don't know for sure unless there's massive video that comes out, and that's access we don't really have until the start of training camp. So at that point, I'll be able to fill you in a little bit better there. But at the moment, I can't really give you more than pure speculation, so I'm right there with you on that front. Hopefully you will understand that. Let's dive in to this schedule breakdown. Let's go through all 82 games of next season for your Sacramento Kings. How many games will they actually win? How many games are they actually favored in? And do they really have the hardest schedule in the NBA, as Vegas seems to believe? Let's dive right into this and go deeper behind and between the lines of the 2018-2019 Sacramento Kings schedule. So I shared with you on Friday, the Kings open up their season at home, which is fantastic, against the Utah Jazz, which is fantastic. Let's dive a little bit more specifically into this matchup. I love the fact that we have Donovan Mitchell coming to town. I'm interested to see how Donovan builds off of what was a extremely successful season last year. This isn't the Locked On Jazz podcast, so I'm not going to talk about the Jazz specifically, but I'm excited to see Donovan Mitchell versus Buddy Hield in a lot of ways. I expect Buddy Hield to be the starter at the two-guard position for the Kings starting next season. But another name on the Utah Jazz that I'm really interested in, and I want to prepare fans immediately, is Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is easily the best defensive player in the NBA today. He's certainly the best defensive big man. Hands down, it's not even close. So you're getting an immediate test for Willie Cauley-Stein, for Marvin Bagley, and for Harry Giles right out of the gate. If they are matched up on the floor with Rudy Gobert, here's the reality. They're going to have a tough time scoring. That's just the reality of it. I know, and I want to prepare a lot of Kings fans for a potential letdown. Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles may not have the best opening nights because they're going right at literally the best defender they can go at. But that's a good test right out of the gate for these guys to really show where they're at and what they have to work on and what they've worked on over the summertime. All I'm saying is don't overreact too hard to Bagley or Giles' struggles if they're going right at Rudy Gobert, because if you were to ask me who has the edge, I would give it to Rudy and then some tenfold. Rudy Gobert should be able to handle comfortably the play of Giles and Marvin Bagley really on both ends of the floor. I'm interested to see how they may adapt, if they work more away from the perimeter, maybe more high post, or if Dave Yeager tries to do some alternate lineups, maybe put Costa Kufos out there and have him deal with Gobert as much as possible. It's going to be interesting to see, but ultimately a great test right out the gate for your Sacramento Kings and for the young big men on this roster. Then the Kings take a three-game road trip. They head to New Orleans on Friday, October 19th. Wednesday, October 17th is opening night. Following New Orleans, they have Oklahoma City, and following Oklahoma City, they have Denver. So a tough three-game road stretch there. Really quick, three games in six nights, New Orleans, Oklahoma City, and Denver, before returning back home to two, in my opinion, very winnable games against the Memphis Grizzlies and Washington Wizards. One thing I wanted to point out about the early stages of this schedule is that if the Kings are going to up their win total this year, like I believe they can, but obviously it's going to be an uphill battle from the start, it requires significant improvement and success against the weaker Eastern Conference. We all know how much better the West got, and the West is going to be a challenge for the Kings this year. Let's just not beat around the bush. They might be able to steal a game or two from the Lakers or the Warriors or the Houston Rockets, but most likely they're not going to be winning or going 500 in Western Conference play. If they did, that would be phenomenal, which means they're going to have to supplement with more wins against the Eastern Conference. They have an opportunity right out of the gate against Eastern Conference opponents to make that happen. Look at some of the Eastern Conference matchups they have pretty much immediately. The first four games of the season are all against the West, and there's a very good chance that the Kings can start the season 0-4 with those four matchups. But then after they take on the Memphis Grizzlies at home, they have Washington, Miami, Orlando, Atlanta, Milwaukee, and Toronto all in a stretch. An early Eastern Conference road trip. Washington is at home, Miami, Orlando, Atlanta, Milwaukee all on the road, Toronto then back at home. Those are six games right there that the Kings need to be able to take three of them. I don't care if they're on the road or not. You need to take that game at home against Washington. You need to find a win in most likely Orlando and most likely in Atlanta. If you can get a win in Miami as well, Milwaukee, I wouldn't expect to win there. Toronto at home is going to be tough too, especially with Kawhi Leonard. I still think Toronto is going to be pretty good this year, their last-ditch effort. Who knows if they're going to be able to re-sign Kawhi Leonard. We'll have to wait and see how that works out. Certainly doesn't seem like that's going to be the case, but I don't think Toronto's going to be bad by any means in the Eastern Conference this year, so that's a tough game to come back home to. But ultimately, I'm looking at that Miami game. I'm looking at that Orlando game on the road. I'm looking at that Atlanta game on the road. It's three very, very winnable matchups. And then the Washington Wizards at home. Washington's not a bad team by any means. That is a game, especially when you're playing Eastern Conference opponents in Sacramento, those are games the Kings have to start winning consistently if they want to make another big jump. So after they come home and play Toronto on the 7th of November, they get a nice small stand at home. The Kings play a lot of road games early on in the season. 7 of their first 10, I believe, are on the road. Yes, that is the case. 7 of the first 10. So we do get opening night here in SAC, but a lot of road trips early on, which could potentially result in an early hole for the Kings. Hopefully they can survive that, but a good early test for this young squad, which is what I want to see. I want to see them be able to handle consistently ups and downs and the grind of a season. I want to see how they handle adversity right out of the gate. If this team is going to grow, they can't wait until the All-Star break to start winning games, because the amount of tankers most likely next season is going to drop significantly. So you can't wait to win a lot of games on the back end of a season when teams know that they're out of it, because it's going to be there's going to be a lot of battle in the Western Conference for the 8th and 7th seed. I'm actually really excited about that this year. So let's look at this little homestand that they have. They have the Minnesota Timberwolves after the Toronto game. Then the LA Lakers come into Sacramento for the first time. Here's what I want to say about this. The Kings went from playing LeBron James twice a year to a guaranteed four times. That's going to be difficult, and I don't expect the Kings to win more than one of those games. But I'm super excited about the Lakers in Sacramento. And that sounds so weird, because I understand every time the Lakers come to town, especially now with LeBron James and company, there are going to be a lot of yellow jerseys in the Golden 1 Center. Here's what I have to say about that. One, if you don't like it, don't sell your season tickets. Now, I'm not going to ever tell anybody, like, if you can't make money and it'll pay off the rest of your season tickets, if that's what you want to do, great. But understand that if you're selling it to Laker fans, you're giving up your seat to someone who's going to root against your team on that, at least that night. So take that with a grain of salt. Understand that. And that's minor thing. That's dust under the rug. I love the fan atmosphere every time the Lakers come to town, and I'm okay with the fact that half the Golden 1 Center is in Laker yellow, because it makes for a great fan environment, and ultimately both teams show up and enjoy playing in it. Kings fans know full well They're going to get a fun fight and battle between these two teams because of the history of these programs. And when players leave the tunnel, especially on the Sacramento Kings side, they know this might be the closest thing we get to a playoff atmosphere all year, with the exception of opening night. That is a game, the first game against the LA Lakers in Sacramento, that I expect the Kings to be very competitive in. Both these games in Sacramento against the Lakers, and even both games against the Warriors in Sacramento, I'm not going to guarantee wins by any means, but I expect all those games to be successful and to be competitive. I want to see the Kings consistently in these games, especially down the stretch. Now, if the Kings manage to keep it to within 4 or 5, or even have a 4 or 5 point lead with 2 or 3 minutes to go, and then the Warriors flip that switch, or LeBron James goes full MVP mode and starts scoring in bunches, and there's nothing the Kings can do to stop it because he's just that good, I can live with that. I can accept that, ultimately knowing that the Kings were competitive thoroughly throughout this game and they were in an opportunity and had a chance to win. Ultimately, I would like to see them not lose every time they have that opportunity, but you got to look at baby steps, and being competitive on a night-in, night-out basis against a team like the Lakers and a team like the Golden State Warriors is key for the Kings going forward. So I'm expecting a very good game that night. I think that's a great game and a great opportunity for the Kings on November 10th to jump all over the Lakers. The only bad part about it is that it's on the second night of a back-to-back, Friday night against Minnesota on November 9th, then Saturday night against the LA Lakers on November 10th. But it is a Saturday night game. I expect a phenomenal atmosphere out there. Following that, another tough game, the San Antonio Spurs come into town. San Antonio is a team I'm a lot higher on than so many people. They've gotten better. Like, people don't understand that, because people realize that, you know, they traded Kawhi Leonard away. But the San Antonio Spurs didn't have Kawhi Leonard last year and still were competitive. So this year they've added DeMar DeRozan. They've added DeMar DeRozan to what they already had. They did get rid of Tony Parker, but they have more than enough talent to replace that. The San Antonio Spurs, in my opinion, are going to be a really good team this year. And I'm expecting them to be up at the tops of the top four seeds of the Western Conference. So that's going to be a tough matchup. I'm very interested to see how the Kings manage to handle San Antonio. They always seem to play well against DeMar DeRozan when he was a Toronto Raptor. So we'll have to wait and see for that one. After that game, it's back on the road for 4 out of 5. They have Memphis and Houston. I'm really anxious to see how the Kings play against this Houston team, too. A run-and-gun style offense that shoots a lot of threes. Houston has had a lot of success against the Kings, minus the last game of the season last year when none of the Houston starters played and the Kings ended up winning that game. But for the most part, when Houston plays their main lineup and a completely healthy Houston team plays with James Harden at the front line, the Kings fall behind early and can never really recover. The Houston Rockets, their perimeter offense, has always put a lot of points up on the Kings and created a lot of separation. So that's definitely a concern for the Sacramento Kings in that area. Moving on, you have the Oklahoma City Thunder then back in Sacramento. Interested to see how that team turns out. That is another game I expect the Kings to probably lose, but I'm hoping they are competitive consistently. Then back on the road for Utah and Golden State. So a very tough 5-game stretch there. You're looking at that game at Memphis before the game at Houston as their best chance to get a win. Other than that, though, you struggle. Then you come back home, another matchup against Utah on November 25th. Then you have the LA Clippers on November 29th in Sacramento. That is the only national TNT game that the Sacramento Kings have. An interesting matchup choice, the Kings versus the Clippers. Interested to see what the Clippers are this year, but that is a game on national TV. The Kings always seem to play well. Certain players always seem to play well. I'm looking at you, Willie Cauley-Stein. They always seem to have good games against those national TV games, and a good opportunity for a young Kings team to showcase what they have to the rest of the world. That is a 7:30 start, but I expect the Kings to be very competitive in that one. The Indiana Pacers open up December in Sacramento, a game that I know Indiana's gotten better and has gotten good. That is a very winnable game for the Kings. I'm looking exactly at matchups like that, guys, as the Indiana Pacers are teams at home that the Kings should be able to beat or maybe can catch napping. Then it's right back on the road at Phoenix on the 4th, at Cleveland on the 7th, at Indiana on the 8th, and at Chicago on the 10th. I look at that, and what do I see? A best chance you're going to get at a 4-game win streak for this Kings team. Phoenix in Phoenix, they can beat. Cleveland in Cleveland, they can beat. Indiana in Indiana, that's going to be the toughest one of the bunch. Then the Chicago Bulls in Chicago, the Kings can beat. I like that 4-game road trip. I think that's the friendliest road trip that the Kings have this season. Coming back home, they got the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Golden State Warriors on the 12th and the 14th. So December 14th is the first time Golden State comes to town, which, similar to the Laker fans, that means you're going to see a lot of Golden State Warriors jerseys there. I'm excited. I'm very fired up for that matchup as well. Like I said earlier with the Lakers game, that's a game where I'm hoping to see the Kings competitive all the way down to the wire. If they ultimately lose because the Warriors are such a better team, I can accept that and I can live with that. For the first time, you get to see Luka Doncic take on the Sacramento Kings on Sunday the 16th. That's in Dallas. Then they go to Minnesota right after that, the very next night on the 17th. Then they come home for Oklahoma City, Memphis, and New Orleans. You're noticing a pattern. The Kings play a handful of similar opponents a lot in the first half, and then they play a handful of different opponents in the second half. You have the L.A. Clippers in L.A. on the 26th. Then the very next night, you come back home for Game 2 against the Lakers. So your two games against the Los Angeles Lakers in Sacramento is wrapped up before we turn the calendar over to 2019, which may be both good and bad. Immediately following that, then you're playing the Lakers in L.A., so a three-game stretch against L.A. opponents. And then you come home, opening up the new year on New Year's Day against the Portland Trailblazers. A brief four-game homestand. You have Portland, Denver, Golden State, and Orlando. Two very winnable games in there against Denver and Orlando. I'm really interested to see how good Portland is this year, but that's another game you can steal. And then Golden State starting off the year once again back here in Sacramento. So really the second half of the schedule, you've eliminated both home games against the Lakers and both home games against the Golden State Warriors. It's a very front-heavy, difficult schedule that the Kings are going to have to deal with. Wrapping up the first half officially, the Kings end the first half of the schedule, game 41 in Phoenix on Tuesday, January 8th. And then the second half begins with Detroit, Charlotte, and Portland in Sacramento. I'm looking at that Detroit game. I'm looking at that Charlotte game. Again, two Eastern Conference opponents in Sacramento. Those should both be wins. Those are both, for me, expected wins by the Kings, Detroit and Charlotte here in Sacramento, followed by Portland on January 14th. And then the longest road trip of the year at six games, Charlotte, Detroit, Brooklyn, Toronto, Memphis, Clippers. Another road trip where I could see the Kings potentially having success. Charlotte and Charlotte, you can beat. Detroit and Detroit may be a little more difficult. I expect a win in Brooklyn against the Nets. I'm expecting a loss against the Toronto Raptors. Then you have Memphis and the Clippers to wrap that one up. More Eastern Conference opponents that I think the Kings can steal games from and defeat, whether it's on the road or in Sacramento. I'm looking majorly, big time at East Coast games this year. I think the East Coast is where the Kings are going to make their biggest jump, if they're going to make any jump at all in the win column. After that road trip, they're at home against the Atlanta Hawks. That should be a win. At home against the Philadelphia 76ers. We've seen the Kings have success against Philly in Sacramento. I'm not guaranteeing a win there, but certainly a very winnable game. Then you have San Antonio, Houston, Miami, and Phoenix in Sacramento. Their longest homestand of the season at six games there before going back on the road for a four-game season. Set at Denver, at Golden State, at Oklahoma City, and at Minnesota. Then you have Milwaukee, the Clippers, the New York Knicks, and the Boston Celtics in Sacramento. Those are interesting games as well. Milwaukee is going to be a tough team, and I know the Kings seem to have trouble with them, but in Sacramento, I expect them to be competitive and be in a spot to win that game. The New York Knicks as well, I think the Kings should be able to beat New York here in Sacramento. Boston Celtics, we know how good Boston's going to be, assuming they're completely healthy. I would love for the Kings to be in that game. All they're going to have to do is try and survive that one. I don't think the Boston Celtics are ever going to get away with dropping a game in Sacramento. Then back on the road for another four-game East Coast trip, the New York Knicks, Washington Wizards, Boston Celtics, and Philadelphia 76ers. You're noticing while we're going through this, this schedule that there are so many stretches of a lot of Eastern Conference opponents in a chunk. It's not just one or two sprinkled in along with a lot of Western Conference opponents. There are stretches both on the road and at home where the Kings are going to be consistently playing against Eastern Conference opponents. Those are games, I'm going to say it for the millionth time, those are games that I expect the Kings to potentially win and be involved in, and if they are really going to make a big jump this season, those are the potential gold mines waiting to happen. So if you get nothing else out of this complete schedule breakdown and run through, trust me on this. Those games are the ones you really should be paying attention to, and those are where, if you're going to hold the Kings accountable for any kind of consistent winning, against the Eastern Conference is really what you're going to want to pay attention to. They return back home for four straight on March 17th. That's a Sunday against Chicago and Brooklyn back-to-back. Chicago, Brooklyn in Sacramento, two more very winnable games. And then you have Dallas and Phoenix. So on Thursday, March 21st, Kings fans are going to have to wait all the way until March 21st, Thursday, to see Luka Doncic play in Sacramento. Now, I'm already dreading this game because I'm rooting for Doncic and I want Doncic to be successful, but I know every time Luka Doncic does anything remotely good against the Kings, really remotely good this season, but especially against the Kings, I'm going to hear from the pro-Luka crowd, and I appreciate them, and I know many of you are in that crowd, and I appreciate you for that. If that's what you want to do, fine. I really hope you won't nitpick literally everything Bagley does, and every time Luka has a successful game, you won't target me or come at me or come at other people who are pro-Bagley just because they are okay with the Bagley pick over Luka. I want Luka to be successful. I think the NBA wants Luka to be successful. I'm hoping to see him come in here and put up a good game. Ultimately, I would love to see Bagley have a better game and the Kings win, obviously. But I'm requesting ahead of time, when Luka comes to Sacramento, let's not overreact if he has a good game. Luka's up for some very big tests right away, too. If you look at the Dallas Mavericks schedule, we can spend some time looking over that at a later date. But then you have Dallas and Phoenix on the 21st and the 23rd. Then once again, back on the road for a five-game Western Conference road trip. A lot of tough games in this mix. So you got the Lakers on the 24th, Dallas on the 26th, New Orleans on the 28th, Houston on the 30th, and San Antonio on the 31st. Talk about a rough back-to-back. The Kings have a lot of back-to-backs this season. But their roughest one might be that one. The 30th and 31st, Houston and San Antonio. They also have the earlier one in the season on November 9th and 10th, Minnesota and LA Lakers. So there's a couple back-to-backs that are going to be really brutal tests for this young Kings team. That's where I expect a lot of minutes and a lot of run for the youngins, the De'Aaron Foxes, the Yogi Ferrells, the Buddy Hields, the Bogdan Bogdanoviches, etc. I'm really hoping also the Kings are able to remain healthy this year. Then the final five games of the season, three at home, two on the road. You have once again Houston and Sacramento, Cleveland and Sacramento, a very winnable game there. One more game in Utah on April 5th. Then you have New Orleans and Sacramento on April 7th. And finally, the Kings wrap up their season in Portland against the Trailblazers on April 10th. So there you have it, a complete run-through of the Sacramento Kings schedule. So let's answer the major question everybody's interested in. 25 wins is what ESPN and many Vegas websites and casinos and the sports book have the Kings win total at, 25, 25 and a half. I'm taking the over. I honestly think that the Kings can be successful if they can lock up a majority of these wins, especially at home against Eastern Conference opponents. I really truly believe that the Kings can break that 25 win total mark. Get me 15 wins against Western Conference opponents and another 15 against the East, and you're looking at a good opportunity for this Kings team to break 30 wins next season. I'm not going to guarantee it, but I'm feeling pretty confident with it. I have my eye firmly set on these Kings versus Eastern Conference opponents matchups. Those are definitely going to be fun to watch. If they can have success there, mark my words, they will break the 25 win total set upon them by ESPN. Before we wrap up, I wanted to share with you something that I'm starting to do at KHDK in October. It's something that I think you're going to have a lot of fun with and something I'm hoping you will be involved in. You know, I've been labeled a blind optimist by my coworkers at KHDK when it comes to the Sacramento Kings, and that's something I'm relatively proud of. I am very optimistic about this team because I love this team. I grew up supporting this team, and I want this team to succeed. It's also my coping mechanism, is to get excited about the younger players and look at the bright side of things over the negativity, and there's been plenty of it over the last decade plus with the Sacramento Kings. But I'm doubling down on this blind optimist mantra. I'm going to start challenging Kings fans and the basketball world in general to what is going to be called blind optimist challenges. And what they are is they're little bets that I'm going to make really against the basketball world on a, not necessarily a night in, night out basis, but every once in a while I'll pick a game and make a bet based off that game. An example of that would be opening night against the Utah Jazz. My bet would be I guarantee the Kings are going to beat the Utah Jazz on opening night. Now, if they do not, if they do, I look brilliant and fantastic, and we all win because the Kings win. If they do not, and that Kings team lets me down, then KHDK listeners, and even you podcast listeners, are going to be able to pitch punishments. And then you will get to, after we gather a group of punishments, vote on which one you like the best. For example, an example I can give you is if the Kings lose to the Utah Jazz on opening night, and that was the bet that I made, then and you, the listeners, voted to have Matt wear a Lakers jersey and nothing but a Lakers jersey with pants, obviously, for the next week, every single day. And that's how I lost, and that's what I'd have to do. Hopefully, I would hope Kings fans wouldn't pick to make me do that. But just to give you an idea of me wearing my shame, that's what it's going to be. So I'm calling them the Blind Optimist Challenges. I'm doubling down on this Kings team this year because I'm optimistic. I'm high on them. I think they can break 30 wins this year. I think they are going in the right direction. So that is really, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is in that sense. So I definitely want you to be a part of that. So many of you have already sent in your requests to me to be a part of the fans only show and listeners only show that we're doing at the end of August. Thank you so much for that. We will get to that very, very soon. Keep sending in those responses and those reviews that you have for the podcast. I appreciate those, and we use those to improve the podcast on a daily basis. I will be back on Wednesday. I look forward to chatting with you then. But until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.